The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
We'd like to welcome now on the Ring Central phone line, Conrad de Quadros, partner and senior economist at RDQ Economics. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Is it fair to say, all told, a good morning's economic data?
Well, you know, I think that there were some encouraging signs within the reports. We did have reading on jobless claims that suggests, at least in terms of job losses, things are certainly not getting any worse. In fact, they might be getting a little bit better with some slowing in the pace of job losses versus what we've seen earlier in the year. Of course, we get the important reading on the labor market next week, which gives us a more complete picture in looking at job creation. And on the durable goods side, obviously the headline number was significantly boosted by aircraft, which are very volatile from month to month, and we also had a rebound in defense. But looking at some of the underlying details, the fact that we've seen consecutive increases in orders excluding defense and civilian aircraft, and it's risen quite solidly over the last 3 months. And also encouraging is the capital goods data on orders, where over the last 3 months we've seen a very significant increase in orders for non-defense capital goods aircraft. So I think that's a very positive sign for capital goods spending in the second half of this year.
Comrade, see, looking in the report, I know there's only so much detail, but if you can, to the extent you can, give us a sense of how much durable goods orders are broadly being driven by the automobile industry, because it doesn't, you know, isn't just directly the production of autos. There's so many things that go into autos that that make a difference. There's also, of course, the housing rebound. It can affect orders, and how much it's other parts of the economy. What's strongest? What's weakest?
Well, the autos have been one of the stronger areas also. We had an increase in June. And what we tend to do with a lot of these reports is just looking at the trends over the last 3 months, because they can be very volatile from month to month. And autos have risen at a double-digit annualized pace over the last 3 months, and a little bit stronger than the pace that we've seen over the last 3 years. So that suggests a bit of a pickup in momentum. But away from the auto sector, and if we look at some of the more business areas like machinery or computer and electronics, or some of the more high-tech areas, there we've seen even stronger growth over the last 3 months in orders than what we saw in the auto sector. So, you know, when I look at this report, it's encouraging to me for what it suggests on the business spending side in the second half of this year. We know that autos have been strong in the first half of this year, boosting consumer spending. We had an elevated seasonally adjusted annual selling rate on the last report on autos, close to 16 million units. But from my perspective and what it means for the economy, I like to see the strength in business spending that generally leads hiring. We have seen decent growth in employment, but you know, we still have a lot of work to do on the employment front with an unemployment rate at 7.6%. So, you know, I think that the signs on business spending and what it might mean eventually for hiring are the bright spots within this durable goods orders report for June.
Well, that's certainly good. So then initial jobless claims stay around these levels for the foreseeable future?
Well, you know, we have seen some very modest slowing, and it's probably not too significant given the volatility in the reports, but we were running jobless claims averages a little bit above 350,000, and we seem to have dropped a bit below that 350,000 level in July. It's a little bit difficult to read the data in July because of the problems with trying to seasonally adjust the normal summer factory shutdowns for retooling, and the fact that there are these seasonal swings that happen at the start of a quarter. So July is a difficult month to read, but taking at face value and looking at the four-week average of claims that smooths through some of the volatility, we have seen some modest declines in jobless claims, which I think may suggest that job losses have slowed. But of course, the important part of the picture is new job creation. And so we'll have to wait until we see the report next week to get an idea of that. But I think based on this claims report, based on what we've seen on the employment situation and some of the regional manufacturing reports, I think we're looking at a monthly job creation that's similar to the pace that we've seen in recent months, which is pretty close to 200,000 jobs per month, a decent pace of growth for employment.
And of course, we have a Federal Reserve meeting next week. People will be watching that statement very closely to see if there's any inkling, even a word or two, that suggests there's more of a consideration of possible tapering. When you look at the economy then, Conrad, is it strong enough to sustain further gains in the stock market if we look at the fundamentals driving stocks? Is it strong enough for the Fed to say, oh yeah, we're on track for tapering in September, or perhaps strong enough for one but not strong enough for the other?
Well, you know, we have obviously had, we've come a long way in the equity market. We have stocks up about 18% this year. I don't think based on profits, and as an economist, I look at the profits data within the GDP report, based on the relationship between profits and equity market capitalization, I don't think the equity market is overvalued. I do think that we've seen much more of an increase in equity prices in a much quicker time span than I was expecting. And given that, I do think that the data will be strong enough to get the Fed to start to moderately taper the size of its asset purchase program, and I expect that that will put some further upward pressure on yields. I think that the yield reaction presents some risks to the equity market from a valuation standpoint. So I do think that the economic data are strong enough to get the Fed to taper. Of course, it's my opinion that the Fed never should have moved into QE3 in the first place. But based on their assessment of the economy, I think that we'll see employment growth that's probably strong enough for them to taper. Next week, as you mentioned, it's a very busy week, and the timing is difficult with GDP coming out the same day as payrolls, but same day as the Fed, but payrolls coming out later.
All right. Comrade DeQuadros, RDQ Economics, thank you so very much. A look at the economy, the Fed, and the markets.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.